We'll pick up last hour's conversation coming up a little later in this hour. I really do want to continue talking about it with you. But right now, I want to welcome in Kia Sherman, Entergy New Orleans Vice President of Customer Service and Economic Development. Hey, Kia, how are you?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing well today. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Entergy New Orleans has been a part of the economic development team that has been working to develop new businesses, grow businesses, and attract business to New Orleans. And we wanted to talk to you today a little bit about your role in doing that and how you've been successful and what challenges you face in helping through economic development. So why is Entergy New Orleans a part of this whole economic process in the city right now? A lot of people would be surprised to hear that the public utility, that the power company, was part of this team.
Right. Well, we do get that question often. So thank you for the opportunity to just kind of share why Entergy New Orleans prioritizes economic development investment. So just, the more residents, the more large scale customers that we have, businesses in this city, the more affordable our rates are for everyone. So we see it as our duty, to bring business to the city, which then brings jobs and people are able to have higher incomes, also, and are more able to afford their utility bills. So
makes sense. Yeah. If you draw more business to the city, your company makes more money and you also help the community at large. So clearly, it's an effort for a win-win-win.
Correct. It's an affordability issue for our customers.
And how's it going?
Well, it's going well. I'm about 3 months into my new job. So I came in at a really fortuitous time where we have some visionary opportunities happening in New Orleans East that I'm really excited about and just kind of dove right into.
So I know you've talked before on the program with Newell about the I-510 corridor, specifically with NASA Michoud having the assembly facility out there and its crucial role in the space program and returning astronauts to the moon and now building a base on the moon. But there's a lot more than just NASA work that goes on at that facility. There are a lot of companies doing a whole lot of work out there, aren't there?
Absolutely. One of my priorities whenever I first started with Entergy was I requested a tour of NASA Michoud because I really wanted to get a sense of what that asset was. And I was blown away. I mean, first of all, we were able to see the SLS rocket for the Artemis 3, assembled and ready to go out in a few weeks over to Cape Canaveral. And just to have that asset in our city, and in particular in New Orleans East, it just presents such an incredible opportunity, very similar to, Huntsville, Alabama, where they have our partner, NASA's partner facility, Marshall. That's what really sort of jumped out to me when I was there. So you have Lockheed Martin, you have Boeing, you have Vivace, you also have some defense manufacturers like Textron, which is located in the property adjacent to NASA that IRG has developed. So it's, and there's just tons of land out there, which is one of the reasons that, the mayor's administration and Dr. Maines, the deputy mayor of economic development, myself, LED, GNO Inc., especially, we're all focused on that area because we understand, with that amount of land and all these, this federal asset and these the benefits of being in that area, there's just so much opportunity.
Yeah, I've been very blessed. I've had two loved ones work out there at NASA Michoud with two different companies. But there's great opportunity. There's some great high-paying jobs out there.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people don't realize they're not just building the SLS. They're not just building the crew capsule out there, that they have all these other companies that are doing private work totally unrelated to NASA. And not only in aerospace. So, and there's plenty of land still that could, even the Coast Guard has a huge facility out there. I don't think most people realize.
Exactly. it's sort of like, you know, when you drive down Chapultepec and the Port of New Orleans is happening behind that wall and you have no idea how cool, you know, and the amount of activity that's happening out there and how much money is flowing through that port. And so it's kind of the same thing with NASA, you know, not unless you're driving down that road, you're not going to really be able. And honestly, you have to tour the facility. They have these huge pieces of equipment that that LSU and UNO, they have their National Center of Advanced Manufacturing out there. And so that's one of the main attractions for these companies that you mentioned to be doing business out there. You know, we have world-class welding at NASA out there. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And the opportunity is enormous. And you talk about the innovation and you talk about all the brilliant minds and amazing technological companies that are operating out there. And that translates through the community. That provides opportunities for colleges and universities, for high schools, for training programs, and so for so
community
many other
colleges.
Yeah.
You know, it's so for, you know, every engineer that is needed, you have multiple technicians that would be trained through, you know, Nunez. They're currently training for Boeing that do a lot of the work out at NASA. So that's something to really keep in mind with these opportunities as they develop, that there will be openings and need for trained workers. And so anyone that's really interested in, you know, either what's happening at I-510, which is the shipping and logistics corridor that, you know, will have warehousing along the I-510 right there because of the Louisiana International Terminals development, you know, they can get trained, you know, starting now by Delgado. We also have a partner, Goodwill. They'll be doing some training out there for those jobs. And then likewise at NASA, there'll be, you know, we're hoping the aerospace and as well defense industry, you know, may find that area attractive and hopefully look at it for expanding manufacturing out there. And there'll be jobs, you know, that are needed around that opportunity as well.
What kind of reception are you getting when you go out and you talk to people and you say, hey, we have this amazing facility in New Orleans that has everything you need? It's got rail, it's got water, it's got interstate, it's got highly trained and developed industry. It's got all of the things that a company could want and need to grow and develop right there. What kind of reaction have you been getting, and how's the future look?
Well, right now, you know, we have Louisiana Economic Development, we have GNO Inc., you know, we're all just corralling around like what this vision is. And with the city of New Orleans, they, you know, there was a New Orleans East Innovation District study that was commissioned kind of to analyze the assets out there and try to determine what would be the best use for it and who might find it attractive. And so we've been in that phase of this, this part of the project. And, you know, next, you know, when they're, you know, when the opportunity for NASA is released, the manufacturers and companies that are interested will have the ability to respond. So that's when we'll be able to really see, you know, if the vision that we're all helping to put together, you know, what type of reception it gets. But I imagine, you know, my time in Huntsville and just kind of seeing the different ingredients that has made that city successful. You know, you have the universities that are training, you know, engineers, but doing research out there at Cummings Research Park. You have the community colleges that are training the technicians. You have the defense manufacturers. You have defense research contractors out there. And because you have all those people and all this industry, you also have restaurants. You have apartments. You have all the things, you know, that sort of come along with building an ecosystem like that. And that's really what we're sort of, you know, our involvement at this moment is really helping to try to shape what that could look like.
Kia Sherman, Entergy New Orleans Vice President of Customer Service and Economic Development. Anything else you want to share with our audience as you launch into this new effort to try and convince the world that New Orleans has everything they need to create or relocate a company, even in the high-tech sector, right here in the city?
Right. That's right. I mean, you said it for me. And then we also have the culture of New Orleans that they would benefit from as well. The food, the music, the people are like nowhere else. So that's what brought me back.
Back. Okay. So you're a native?
Yes. Yes. Born in New Orleans. I came back right after Katrina.
And work took you elsewhere. And most recently, Alabama, huh?
Well, that was a visit. I've never been an Alabama girl.
Okay. Well, I wasn't suggesting you were, but you were talking about your time at Huntsville, so there you go.
Don't give me a bad rap here, Dave.
I would never. Kia, thank you so much for joining us. We sure appreciate it, and we look forward to continuing this journey and seeing if we can land some big successes and continue to make this vision come true. As we send astronauts back to the moon, let's send major industry and technology to New Orleans. Thank you, Kia.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Kia Sherman here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. All right, now I want to pick up the conversation from last hour because I really felt like we didn't get a chance to finish it. You heard from some St. Tammany voters that they live in a house divided over what's going on with Sheriff Randy Smith now. And that we heard from one caller who said he would never vote for the sheriff again. But his wife was defending the sheriff and would vote for the sheriff if he does indeed run for re-election in St. Tammany Parish. And I'm fascinated by this. The lines are not clear cut. There is clear differences of opinion. And I know a lot of folks were holding to talk about this before we paused for that conversation we just had. So jump back on the line now at 504-260-1870. I believe, based on what I've heard, that Sheriff Randy Smith could avoid conviction, that could find at least one, if not multiple jurors, sympathetic to him, based on the facts as we understand them now. One person texted us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, says he's waiting to get a deal and then he'll resign. And it's not uncommon for prosecutors to offer public officials that if they quit and go away quietly, that they'll drop the charges. That's happened in some cases before. More often than not, it's been my experience that public officials choose not to take that deal, but some have, and maybe that will happen in this case. Another person texted and said a sheriff should never be drunk. They should not. That should be a law, but even if it's not, the sheriff should hold themselves to a higher standard. What do you think? 504-260-1870. We'll pick up the conversation after this on WWL. The more I read your texts and comments and the more I see public reaction, the more I believe that Randy Smith can walk away from this without being convicted of a felony if he goes to trial. I really think there are enough people out there sympathetic to him and that believe now that he was somehow justified. Now, does that mean he could win election again? No idea. It depends who votes against him, and it depends how much there is an effort brought together to fight his reelection. But as to whether or not he's going to resign, many people are speculating that he will or won't. One person points out, based on the sheriff's own statement, I don't think he will. So what did the sheriff say? Well, here, let's read from it. I want to make a few things very clear, Sheriff Randy Smith said in his statement. Actions have consequences. I will fully address my actions through the legal process. While doing so, I remain committed serving the citizens of St. Tammany Parish as your elected sheriff. That does not sound like a man resigned to resign, does it? That does not sound like a man who plans to step aside or take a deal in exchange for his resignation. Now, this was said shortly after his arrest, and situations and circumstances clearly can change, but that's what he said. As to his legal defense, he also seems to have already started laying that out. For the past 10 years, Smith said, I have ignored hundreds of personal attacks directed at me by an individual who hides behind a computer screen. His actions were directed and intentional. As sheriff, I have ignored the attacks, threats, and lies directed at me. As a husband and father, the continued and worsening public harassment of my wife, the false statements against her, and the body shaming of her are not only despicable, but unacceptable. Smith went on to say, seeing the frustration and pain caused to your wife and family is something much harder to ignore. Do you think that if he takes this argument before a jury, that if he stands up and says, I was defending my wife's honor, I was defending my family's good name, that there will be sympathy for him? You heard a St. Tammany voter call last hour. His wife said she'd vote for Smith again. She would vote to reelect him. And I didn't get a chance to talk to his wife and ask her why, but maybe this defending his wife defense, his statement that he was standing up for the woman he loves, will resonate with jurors and or voters, even if the law says you don't have the right to do that. Battery is defined by unwanted touching in Louisiana law. Clearly, the sheriff touched somebody who did not want to be touched. I don't think that fact is in dispute. We have to reserve judgment, innocent till proven guilty, and a defendant has the right to present their side of the story and to mount a defense. And I have never condoned nor would advocate for convicting someone in the public eye or in the media. But I think it would also be wrong to not discuss this, because it is something that is gripping the community and something people want to talk about, including Angela. Angela, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. How you doing, Angela?
Good.
Can you roll your window up, Angela? It sounds really loud where you're at.
Okay, just a second. All right, is that better?
It's a little better. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment on the Randy Smith. I was in law enforcement for about 4 years. My husband was in law enforcement for 42 years. And I can only tell you that when you're in law enforcement, you are on the clock 24/7. I don't care what Randy Smith says. I don't care anything. He is responsible for what he was doing. And period, dot. He should not be the sheriff any longer, and he should be convicted.
Do you think he will be convicted? Do you think he could find a juror or jurors who believe that he was under so much duress from this blogger's alleged 10 years of personal attacks against himself and his family and his wife that someone may be sympathetic?
I don't care whether they're sympathetic or not. The man does not have the right to beat up on another person, period, dot. Whether he is the sheriff or not the sheriff, that's battery. And that is not acceptable. And it is not acceptable of anybody in law enforcement. You take an oath to defend the Constitution. This is not right, period, dot. His responsibility to his family, I understand. His concern about his family, I understand. But It is not his right to get drunk and to then beat up a person. No, it doesn't work that way. It just does not work that way.
But would you surprise? And I agree with you. I agree. The letter of the law is very clear here. But we know jurors don't always follow the letter of the law. I mean, we've been shocked by juries, the way juries have voted for as long as there have been juries, I believe.
Well, you know, this is the deal. With President Trump in office, everybody thinks that they can make excuses for their behavior and that they can survive. They can survive their popularity. It doesn't matter. It is not right, and they should convict him. The man is guilty of what he did. Period. He was drunk, and he lost his temper, and he does not know how to control himself. We have a president in the office who is the same way. He cannot control himself, and look what it's done to us. No, the man, Smith, needs to go.
Thank you, Angela. I appreciate the call. Period. 504-260-1870. I would say this, though. I think we entered an age, and now we're starting to point fingers, and somehow this has become a national political issue of the presidency, which I guess was inevitable to happen. It's hard to discuss anything anymore without somehow it becoming about the president. But I will remind you that I think that we entered a new era of politicians being able to justify and explain and to make a case for bad behavior long before Donald Trump became president. Regardless of if you think he's made the situation worse or not, Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky. I don't know how you get any more clear than I think that was a turning point in our political history. That was a time when things changed, when people took a new approach to trying to justify or explain away bad behavior, when it became acceptable to, rather than accept responsibility for your actions, to create this web of distraction, to take the conversation somewhere else, and to try to justify bad behavior. So I don't think you can say that Randy Smith did this, allegedly, because Donald Trump is president of the United States. I don't think he did it because of Bill Clinton's actions either. But my point is, this is not, I don't think we can draw those lines and connect those dots. And I almost think it's sad that in every conversation we have about anything, it always somehow ends up being pro or anti-Trump. It's amazing how much that dominates so many conversations. I want to hear from some more St. Tammany voters, because I'm fascinated that we've heard voters who would vote for and who would not vote for Sheriff Smith again if he survives without being convicted of a felony and runs for re-election. Would you vote for him? And if you were on the jury, would you vote to convict, or do you think you might vote not to, even if it did play out exactly as prosecutors claim it did? We'll continue the conversation after this on WWL. Text message comes in, says the people defending Sheriff Randy Smith were probably also defending Will Smith when he slapped Chris Rock. Well, there are parallels. Both claim that it was disrespect for their wives that pushed them over the edge. I love my wife dearly. Thank God I've never put in a position where I've had to defend her honor, and I've never beat anyone up for her. Now, if I were put in that position and someone was attacking my wife and her honor, I don't know what I'd do. But I thank God I've never been in that position. Like I said earlier, I've never gotten drunk to a point where I've wanted to beat anybody up, and I've never had anyone come and try to beat me up either, at least not in my adult life. I had some spats as a child, but so I don't know that I fully understand where either one of these men's minds were. I've never also mounted a campaign of hatred against a public official for years and years and years, and tried to benefit personally from being critical of others. I have, when it's warranted, commented on the behavior, policies, or administration of public officials, but not to a point where I've kind of made it my sole focus and gone on for years and years and years about it. But then again, like I said earlier, I've never read any of Bobby Cuvillon's posts. I've never heard any of his podcasts. I don't personally know what he said about the sheriff. All I know is what other people have told me and what the sheriff claims that Cuvillon said about him. 504-260-1870. We've had a bunch of people call in and not be able to hold on long enough to get on the radio through a commercial break. So if you call right now, and I know that several of you called with strong opinions on whether or not you think Sheriff Randy Smith should be remain in office and or should be reelected if he chooses to run for reelection, call right now, 504-260-1870, and we'll get you right on the radio. A lot of people are texting us on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line, and you can continue to do that as well. One of the issues at the heart of this whole conversation is about how much can you legally be critical of a public official and their family. Next hour, I am going to have a First Amendment law expert join us to talk about that. I remember one of the very first courses I had to take in journalism school was about journalism law. And they taught us that public officials are held to a different standard than others when it comes to libel and slander. And that there's a much higher burden of proof for a public official to win a restraining order or to win a lawsuit against someone who is making claims against them. Because a public official has, in the eyes of the law, thrust themselves into the public eye. They have chosen, by becoming a candidate, by participating in an election, and if they've won, by becoming an elected official, to subject themselves to more criticism than the average American citizen. But where does that line end? How far can you legally go in being critical of a public official? When do libel and slander laws kick in? And when it comes to their family members, did they choose to, as the law puts it, thrust themselves into the public light by being married to or the child of someone who runs for office and serves the public? So we'll talk about that next hour, because I think that is an important part of this conversation. I know many of you just want to paint Bobby Cuvillon as the victim in this case. And again, and I'll say it repeatedly, and I do not want to be misunderstood on this, the law is clear. You cannot beat somebody up unless you are under physical threat, unless you are defending yourself or somebody else, unless you are stopping them from hurting you or hurting somebody else. You can't choke them. You can't punch them. You can't beat them legally. But we know damn well that the legal system doesn't always conform to the letter of the law, particularly when it comes to jurors. I want to do a lightning round after this. 504-260-1870. Get on the line right now. I want your opinions on WWL right after this. Coming up in the news at the top of the hour, NOPD has found a body in Lake Pontchartrain for the second time in less than a week. They've pulled someone who drowned, apparently, out of the lake. We'll get details on that. Jeffrey Epstein's longtime secretary has agreed to break the silence and testify. We'll have details on that coming up in the news and more on the latest developments with St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Randy Smith. That all coming up in less than 5 minutes here on WWL. Linda, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. How you doing, Linda?
Hello, really fine. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
I've been hearing a static a lot, but I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you. Just talk directly into your phone for me, Linda, would you?
Okay, thank you. Okay, I would like to state that I feel that there should be some type of employee assistance program for the sheriff, because with social media and the way stuff is being said and done, and if he felt threatened concerning him and his family, he should be given some kind of assistance with the threats that he had received and the things that were said on the radio about him or the podcast, whatever that is. But I'm just saying that I feel that he needs to be given, he should not be forced to resign, basically is what I'm saying, because he should be given some kind of assistance as they do with regular employees.
So it sounds to me like you have some sympathy for the alleged harassment that he says he endured for a decade that then extended to his family and to his wife. And so if you were on the jury, do you think you would think it was justified for him to beat up the blogger?
No, I don't feel it was justified for him to do that. But he may need assistance emotionally because of what he has heard in the past. You know, I'm not saying that I sympathize. I'm just stating the fact that there should be an employee assistance program for any employee as it is, even though he was elected to that position. He really felt that this man was horrible as it relates to him. But yes, if I was on a jury, I'm certain that I would not feel that he should have been guilty.
But I'm sorry, you broke up there. You certainly would what?
I would not feel that he was wrong. I would feel that he should be given some type of assistance since he's working for others.
So you would not vote to convict him of felony battery. You might want to instead get him some help so that he doesn't do this.
Correct. Especially if that was totally out of character for him. Yes, I do feel that he should get some kind of help, and I don't feel that he should be convicted.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate the call. So, folks, that's exactly what I've been talking about. There's sympathy out there for the sheriff. And I think that's why the sheriff, and I think he knows that, and he even addressed all the well wishes and prayers that everyone had sent him immediately after news of this broke. And I think that's why he says, I want to make a few things clear. Actions have consequences. I will fully address my actions through the legal process. While doing so, I remain committed serving the citizens of St. Tammany Parish as your elected sheriff. I don't think he's going to resign. And I think he's going to go to trial unless the facts and there's new evidence that comes out that we don't know about yet. I think Randy Smith's going to try to beat this. And I think he may well run for re-election if he does. Text comes in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. The guy Sheriff Smith assaulted probably never got his ass whooped for running his loud mouth. A lot of us learn boundaries that way. That's what I'm talking about. There's sympathy out there for the sheriff. But there's also those very critical of him. I'm from St. Tammany Parish, somebody else texts, and would absolutely not vote for him again. The arrogance of feeling above the law is totally unacceptable. He needs to go. 504-260-1870. All right, we're going to get a constitutional law expert on here next hour to find out what do the laws say about criticizing a public official, and do they extend to that official's wife and family? Because I think that is an important discussion to have when looking at this case and when exploring everything that led up to this. I don't think the lines in most people's minds are clear-cut on guilt or innocence. I don't think the lines in most people's minds are clear-cut on right and wrong. And I think this is illustrating that we've gotten to a point in our society where very little is clear-cut. Although many of us like to only advocate for one side of an argument, and only see one side of an argument and completely reject and ignore others and their thoughts and feelings. Interesting place in our history. We're back after this on WWL. The news is next.